Hey everybody, welcome back for another deep dive. And today we're heading down to South Florida for this one.
Down to Miami.
Yeah, Miami specifically. We've got some fascinating research that really has some major implications for folks living there and really for anyone living in a coastal city.
Yeah, this is one of those stories that I think a lot of people are going to be able to relate to in different parts of the world.
Absolutely. And we've got a pretty good mix of sources for this one. We've got a research paper coming straight out of the University of Miami. They did a really in-depth study on this. We've also got some news articles covering it from the Miami New Times. NPR, even Motor One chimed in on this.
Interesting.
But the big takeaway from all of these sources is that high-rises in South Florida, Miami in particular, are sinking
Aim into the ground.
into the ground.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to be taking a closer look at today.
Yeah, I think that the research paper really goes into some great detail using satellite data that they were able to pull, and they actually identify 35 high-rises along the Miami coast that are experiencing the sinking, and some of them are sinking faster than others.
Yeah, and I think that's what's really kind of alarming when you look at some of the numbers in this research. We're talking about buildings that have sunk by as much as 3 inches
Yeah.
in just the last 7 years.
3 inches may not sound like a lot to a lot of people, but when you think about the implications for these high-rises in Miami,
Especially in Miami.
being a coastal city, the implications are significant.
Right, and you know, when you think about Miami, what's it built on? What's that ground like?
Well, it's limestone, it's
Right.
porous, and then you've got these layers of sand on top of it.
So it's not exactly the most stable foundation.
It's almost like building on a giant sponge.
It really is. And then you put these massive skyscrapers on top of that. What happens?
Well, you get settling and you get compression.
So all those high rises are essentially just squishing the ground underneath them.
It's a little more nuanced than that because you've got the weight of the buildings, but also the research really emphasizes that the vibrations from construction activities play a huge role in this.
Oh, so all that digging and pile driving and heavy machinery.
Exactly. It just disrupts those sandy layers even more.
Causing them to settle even further. I never really thought about the impact of vibrations like that. Are we talking about only new buildings sinking, or can older buildings be affected by this too?
That was a very interesting point that the researchers brought up, is that older buildings are sinking too, and it's often triggered by new construction happening nearby.
So even if I were to buy a condo in, let's say, an older building in Miami, I could still face sinking problems just because of construction happening next door.
It's a risk factor to consider, and in fact, the researchers were able to pinpoint some specific subsidence hotspots, areas that are sinking faster than others.
Like where?
Sunny Isles Beach.
Oh, wow.
Surfside. These are areas that have seen a huge surge in high-rise construction, and it appears that all that development is contributing to some accelerated sinking.
Okay, so we've got this combination of building weight construction vibrations. But the study also mentioned something about the makeup of the ground itself playing a role. What exactly is going on beneath the surface there?
Well, remember how we talked about Miami being built on limestone and sand? The way that those layers are structured is actually a key factor in all of this. And the study found that this subsidence is at least in part due to something called creep deformation.
Creep deformation.
Creep deformation. And that's basically a fancy way of saying that those sand layers are shifting and settling over time because of the weight and the vibrations.
It sounds a little ominous.
It is a bit ominous. It's like the slow motion avalanche happening underground.
Wow.
It's gradual, but it can have some serious consequences when you have these huge structures sitting on top.
So even though it's a slow process, it's still causing problems.
Right. Think about it this way. If a building sinks uniformly, the entire structure settles at the same rate. That may not be a huge issue. Modern high-rises are designed to withstand some degree of settling. But when different parts of a building sink at different rates,
That's when the trouble starts.
that's when you start to see real problem.
Like what kind of problems? We've all seen that wonky table analogy, right? If one leg is shorter than the others, the whole thing becomes unstable.
So are we talking about just cosmetic damage here, or could this sinking actually lead to structural issues for these buildings?
It's a lot more than just cosmetic. It can lead to some very serious structural problems. And remember, this is happening gradually, so it's not always immediately obvious. But over time, these uneven settling patterns put tremendous stress on a building's structure.
So, like, what kind of things are we talking about here?
You could start to see cracks in the walls, cracks in the foundations.
Oh, wow.
Doors and windows might not align properly. Plumbing and electrical systems can be affected. So it's not something to be taken lightly. It's like a slow-burning fuse. The longer it goes on, the greater the potential for some serious damage. And we're going to be taking a much closer look at those potential consequences and what can be done to mitigate those risks when we come back in part two of our deep dive.
Welcome back to our deep dive, looking into these sinking high-rises in South Florida. Before the break, we were talking about how this gradual subsidence can lead to some pretty significant structural damage to those buildings.
Yeah, and it seems like such a massive problem. I mean, these buildings are huge, and the ground beneath them is literally shifting.
Yeah.
Is there anything that can be done to fix this, or is it just a matter of time before they all start to crumble?
It's a complex problem for sure, but engineers have developed a few different techniques to help mitigate the subsidence and try to stabilize these structures.
Okay, so like what? What are we talking about here?
Well, one approach is to strengthen the ground itself through a process called grouting.
Grouting. Is that like what they use to fill in the gaps between tiles?
Yeah, it's a similar concept, but on a much larger scale. In this case, it involves injecting a special mixture, usually a combination of cement, sand, and other materials, into the ground beneath the building.
So you're basically filling in the gaps and creating a more solid base.
Exactly. The grout mixture fills in those voids and binds the soil particles together, which creates a much stronger and more stable foundation for the structure to sit on.
So it's kind of like giving the ground a shot of super strength serum.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
You're basically strengthening that sponge that Miami is built on, making it more resistant to compression and that settling.
Okay, that makes sense. But what about buildings that are already sinking? Can grouting help those, or is it more of a preventative measure for new construction?
Grouting can actually be used in both scenarios. You can use it preventatively, but it can also be used as a remedial measure to help stabilize buildings that are already experiencing some sinking.
So in some cases, they can actually lift the building back up a bit.
In some cases, yes. It's not always possible, but sometimes they can use grouting to bring the building back closer to its original level.
Wow. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So are there any other techniques that they use to try and stabilize these buildings besides grouting?
Yeah. Another common approach is to install some type of underground supports things like piles or piers.
Piles or piers.
Yes. Yeah. And basically what those do is transfer the weight of the building to deeper, more stable layers of soil or rock.
So you're basically bypassing those unstable layers and anchoring the building to something more solid.
Precisely. It's like building a foundation on stilts, going down to where the ground is more stable.
I mean, these solutions sound pretty impressive, but I imagine they're not cheap. Who's responsible for covering the costs of all of this?
Well, that's where things can get a little bit tricky. Typically, the responsibility falls on the building owners.
And in the case of condos, that means the condo association.
Right, which means those condo owners could be looking at some pretty hefty assessments to cover the cost of these repairs.
Yeah, I bet that makes buying a condo in Miami a little less appealing for some folks.
It's definitely a factor to consider. And this whole situation has certainly caught the attention of insurance companies as well.
I can imagine. They must be reevaluating their risk assessments for these coastal properties.
Absolutely. They're taking note of the subsidence risks, and I think it's likely that we're going to see some changes in insurance policies and premiums in the coming years as they try to adjust to this emerging issue.
Okay, so we've talked about solutions for existing buildings. But what about preventing this from happening in the first place? Is there anything that can be done during the construction phase to minimize these subsidence risks?
Yeah, and that's a really crucial point. The researchers highlight this in their paper. They're recommending that future building codes should really take into account the potential for subsidence, especially in those high-risk areas we talked about earlier.
So that could mean stricter requirements for foundation designs, or even restrictions on building heights in certain areas.
Exactly. It's about finding a balance between development and sustainability. Making sure that new construction is being done in a way that minimizes the risks both to existing buildings and to the environment.
It's like we need to rethink how we approach development in these coastal areas.
Absolutely. And technology is playing a huge role in all of this, both in terms of monitoring subsidence and developing solutions.
Yeah, how are they even measuring this sinking? I mean, we're talking about inches over years. How do they detect something so subtle?
The researchers in this case used a pretty sophisticated technology called INSAR. It analyzes satellite images to measure those tiny movements in the ground.
Wow. So we're talking satellite imagery to track the sinking of these buildings. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. And the accuracy of that technology is incredible. It can pick up even the slightest changes over time. And as this technology continues to evolve, we're going to have even better tools for detecting subsidence early on and predicting which areas are most at risk.
That's really promising. But I guess the big question is, even if we can detect it, can we actually stop it? I mean, isn't Miami just going to keep sinking? It's built on a sponge, after all.
That's the million-dollar question, right? While we can't completely stop geological processes, we can take steps to try and mitigate the impacts. And it's not just about engineering solutions. It's about understanding that complex interplay between human activities and the natural environment.
So we need to find ways to coexist with these natural processes.
Exactly. And it's not just a Miami problem. This is a global issue. Coastal communities all over the world are facing these same challenges as sea levels rise and ground conditions change.
So the lessons learned here can be applied elsewhere.
Absolutely. It's about sharing knowledge and best practices so that we can all adapt and build more resilient communities in the face of these challenges.
So as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, what are some of the key takeaways that our listeners, especially those in coastal areas, should keep in mind?
Well, I think awareness is crucial. Understand the geological conditions where you live and educate yourself on the potential risks of subsidence. If you're thinking about buying a property in a coastal area, do your research. Ask questions about the building's history, find out if there have been any past issues with settling, and what steps have been taken to mitigate any potential problems.
And if you're already living in a building that's showing signs of subsidence,
don't ignore it. Be proactive. Talk to your condo association. Consult with some experts and explore all of your options for addressing the issue. Don't wait until it's too late.
This has been an incredibly informative deep dive. It's really eye-opening to see the impact that these subtle ground movements can have on these massive structures. But I want to shift gears a bit now and talk about the human element of this whole situation. We focused a lot on the technical and the financial aspects, but I think it's important to remember that this isn't just about buildings in concrete. It's about people's homes and livelihoods.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about, you know, the engineering side of things and the financial implications. But when you really think about it, this is impacting people on a personal level, too.
Absolutely. I mean, we can talk about concrete and steel and, you know, all the technical aspects. But at the end of the day, these are people's homes.
Right.
This is where they live their lives. And to know that your home is slowly sinking into the ground, it's got to create a sense of unease, maybe even fear for some people. For sure. I can only imagine what that must feel like. You know, you buy a place, you think it's going to be your, you know, safe haven, your sanctuary, and then to find out that it's slowly but surely sinking into the earth, it's got to be unsettling, to say the least.
It's got to weigh on you. And then you layer on top of that the potential financial strain. I mean, if your building needs major repairs, we're talking about assessments, on top of your mortgage payments, your regular living expenses, I mean, it's a lot to deal with.
Yeah, it really adds up. So how do we address that human side of this problem? How do we help people feel safe in their homes when faced with this, you know, unsettling reality?
Communication, I think, is key. Transparency. Condo associations need to be upfront with residents about what's going on. They need to keep them informed, provide regular updates, explain the risks, and clearly outline the steps that they're taking to try to mitigate the problem.
So it's all about building trust.
It is. Yeah. And it's about giving residents a chance to voice their concerns, to ask questions, to feel heard.
Right.
You know, that sense of community can be really powerful, especially during times like this.
It can make a big difference. And I think it's important to remember that this is not just a Miami problem, right? We're talking about coastal cities all over the world.
All over the world facing these same challenges, rising sea levels, shifting ground conditions.
It's a global issue.
Right.
And this research that we're looking at, it really sheds light on some of the challenges and potential solutions that can be applied in other areas as well.
Absolutely. I think the lessons learned in Miami can be incredibly valuable for other coastal communities.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, being proactive, anticipating problems, learning from each other's experiences.
Exactly. Sharing that knowledge and finding ways to adapt and build more resilient communities.
Well, this has been an incredibly eye-opening deep dive. You know, I always learn something new from these conversations, and this one has really given me a lot to think about.
Me too. It's fascinating, isn't it? I mean, even in a place like Miami with these, you know, seemingly strong permanent structures.
Yeah, those skyscrapers.
There are these forces at work that we can't always see or control.
It's a humbling reminder that we need to be aware of what's happening around us. To ask questions, to be proactive, and to, you know, work together to find solutions.
Absolutely.
Well, to our listeners out there, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into sinking buildings in South Florida. It's been a really fascinating journey. And, you know, as always, keep learning, keep exploring, and we'll see you next time.
See you then.